com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in.
I want to say that a station in Austin, Texas, picked us up. I found out from my friend Dr. Michael Berry. They heard an interview I did with Dr. Mike last weekend, and they had him on the show on a special interview for a couple hours. And for you folks living down in Austin, Texas, I really hope that you listen to that particular discussion between the station and Dr. Berry. He is one of the most brilliant people who I know in this business, and I have to tell you, I've learned more from Dr. Berry than from probably almost anybody else in the business. Okay, having said that, chatting with somebody else right now to open the show that I've also learned an awful lot from, both from a personal standpoint and from a, I guess I'll use the word economic standpoint, and that is Clyde Harrison. Clyde's a frequent guest on the program. Clyde also co-hosts the show that he and I and Steve Carr do on the Business Talk Radio Network. Clyde is a brilliant guy, and in terms of background for any new listeners, Clyde is the co-founder of the Rogers Raw Material Fund. He's been involved with the financial community his entire career, which spans some 40-plus years. He has been right more often than he's been wrong, and he and I have talked in the past numerous times about what's going on right now in the U.S. economy and how people can protect themselves. Clyde feels that for the next 5 to 7 years, the commodity sector, whether it is purchasing commodities themselves or whether it's purchasing the shares of publicly traded companies involved in the commodity sector, is the best place to be. And then after that, boy, Katie barred the door. It could get really, really bad. Clyde, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Al. Commodities could continue to go.
Mm-hmm.
I said the United States has 5 to 7 years before it falls into the black hole of debt.
Yeah.
And if the Republicans in the Congress in Washington doesn't correct, put in the corrections, which are doable but painful,
yeah,
and spread the pain around, we're on our way to the black hole. Does that interrupt China or interrupt Brazil? Maybe not. Maybe they still need copper for their new power plants and things that they're building. So I don't connect the two right now. Short term,
okay.
Yeah, one does something, one hiccups, China hiccuped, and the gold market and everything else went, oh, my goodness. But I these are just hiccups, in my opinion. There's better opportunities to buy.
You know, they probably are just hiccups, but, you know, I gear this program, Clyde, as much as I can to people who are looking for ways to protect themselves from financial disaster. And I have, and I've been pretty straight about this, you know, throughout for as long as I've been doing it and for as long as I've been talking about this on the air. I am firmly convinced that, number one, the quantitative easing situation at the government, you know, that's kind of the new flavor of the day for the administration in terms of solving this problem that we're in, which is very, very definitely to call it dire is an understatement, but I don't think it's going to work. Now, what I'm hearing you say is that we're probably going to muddle along in an economic environment similar to what we have today for the next 5 to 7 years, and then assuming that no changes are made, if we don't go back to, for example, Austrian economics, get away from this, you know, this ridiculous philosophy of John Maynard Keynes, you know, the rich Englishman, that basically we're in real trouble, and people need over the next 5 to 7 years to do everything they can to, you know, as squirrels do every winter, you know, get their food in their nest, right?
I don't want to blame all this on Keynes, because Keynes said, you know, when things are good, run a surplus.
Yeah.
We forgot to do that for about 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've even violated Keynes. And, you know, the other thing I always kid people about Keynes, when he was asked about the long term, if you kept doing this, his answer was, in the long term, we're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Keynes is dead, and we're not.
Yeah.
You know, the 5 to 7 years means you've got to pay attention almost every day to what's going on.
I agree.
This could come apart any day. And it's a world market here. We've got a world currency, which makes us in worse shape than Greece.
I think that's 100% accurate. And, you know, when I said Keynes, I didn't say necessarily to blame everything that has, you know, to blame the situation that we're in right now on Keynes. But what I have to say is, as a solution, I got to tell you, man, Keynesian economics, in my mind, just doesn't, it's not the solution. You know, you've got the solution. We've got to get down to basically providing more. People have to work together, increase the wealth in this country, and that's definitely not money. And that's the only way we're going to get out of this, and the only way we're going to get out of it is if we realize the dire circumstances that we're in right now and take action to do something about that.
Well, you had Social Security, the math worked when it was created.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't adjusted for the increase in the length of life.
Sure.
And it wasn't adjusted for inflation. And it wasn't put anywhere. And the government spent it all, so there's nothing there. And it became a joke. It's mm-hmm. a joke today. And it must be changed.
Well, I think there's a whole lot of things that need to be changed. I mean, Social Security, the medical system that our president signed into law, I think is... could have devastating economic impact on the economy. Yeah, you know, some people on the surface are going to get helped, but overall, boy, that is nothing but disastrous, along with a whole bunch of other things. But, you know, we're about solutions, you know, as our buddy Steve says on the BTRN show, we're about solutions. You know, what I'm basically doing, and, you know, along with the rest of my family, is we're putting our money into things. You know, we're buying commodities and we're buying the stocks of publicly traded companies in the commodity sector. And to me, that makes sense. What are you and Kim doing?
Exactly the same. You've known for 12 years now with the Rogers Fund, raw materials are priced in the world market. They're not priced in Washington, D.C. And anyone can see when they fill up their car or go to the grocery store what Banana Ben's doing. Is not working, and he's got inflation on his hands. He just has it in what we absolutely need.
Mm-hmm.
Those are world-priced, so they're going to go as the world goes. Whether Europe works with their austerity and stuff, I don't know. I do know what China's doing makes far more sense than what we're doing. Same with Brazil, same with India.
Yeah.
They're going to want better food. They're going to want power in their house.
Sure. Well, and you know what else they're going to want, as is being evidenced by purchases out of the Far East right now, defining the Far East as being India, you know, mainland China, the rest of it. They're buying gold, buddy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They know it's real money. The Chinese government has told their citizens buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's all there is here is history.
Yeah.
This has never worked just because Obama's a better speaker than some guy 100 years ago. It won't work if the math doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work.
He's an excellent speaker, you know, and I have nothing but admiration for the man's personality. He's very charismatic, etc. As I've said a bazillion times on this program, my only problem with the administration is I come from a different standpoint. I'm not interested in income redistribution. You know, what I'm interested in primarily, I'm not interested in taxing the rich and penalizing success. Okay, what I'm interested in is people like Clyde Harrison and Al Corlin. You know, because of whatever success that we've obtained, let us help people instead of mandating that the government is going to do that. Sure, there are a number of people that the government simply has to help. But for gosh sakes, not, you know, we can't make everybody, the government cannot make everybody happy. And our society, I believe, will become a much, much better place if folks who have the wherewithal simply open up their checkbooks, donate volunteer time, et cetera, and help other people. Take it out of the hands of the government. You got the final word, buddy.
The final word is when the Great Society was started, Johnson went on the TV. I watched him with my father, and he said, we're going to help people who are not responsible for their own failure.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe 3% of the people.
Yeah.
We got 50 million people a day on food stamps.
Right.
Okay? The math won't work.
The math doesn't work. Folks, we all have to get out there and help. We got to make this world a better place. We have to take care of ourselves and take care of folks around us. Big Al's going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea, T-E-A.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's getthetea.com.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Got my buddy Peter Grandich right now. Pete, how you doing, my friend?
Very good, Al. Very good.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about quantitative easing on this show with a number of people. Mark Chandler from Brown Brothers Harriman is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little bit about it with him. We're going to talk a little bit about it with a guy named Don Swenson, who is really, really a valuable person to know and to have as a guest on the show. He's got a website called Kingdom Economics. Really, really good. But, you know, everybody that I have talked with pretty much agrees with me when I say that this messing around with the money supply, you know, quantitative easing, et cetera, really isn't going to work. You put it rather differently when you say increasing the money supply really is kind of like providing the addict with more heroin. Tell me what you mean by that, will you, buddy?
Yeah, actually, Dave Stockton, the former budget director, said it first. I heard it from him. He called it financial heroin.
Yeah.
And the way I viewed it is what Bernanke has basically said, and he said it in a rare public written statement in an op-ed piece he wrote right after the official announcement of QE2, that he was striving for a wealth effect, that he felt that by QE2, and remember that we had QE2 because QE1 obviously didn't work.
Right.
But QE2 was the hope was that, in effect, Americans would feel more wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And by feeling more wealthy, they would go back and spend, and then somehow things would get fixed. So what he was saying effectively, as I looked at it, is you have a junkie, which we are, we're a debt junkie, and instead of having him go cold turkey and work out of his addiction, instead we're going to get him high again. But while he's high, we're going to hope that we can fix him right this time and not only at the same time be a spender but also be a saver. So that's why we're going to create more debt, hoping we can make this junkie realize after they're high again how to be a better person going forward. And it's the ridiculous reality of what QE2 really is. And again, as I said, because QE1 has already failed in that matter.
Well, QE1 has failed. You know, I got a very, very interesting link from a buddy of mine by the name of Ken Garbino. Kenny is a money manager, very successful money manager down in Beverly Hills, and he sent a great video. I sent you the link, Pete, along with a number of other people, and in that, it was a cartoon, and in that cartoon, basically, it was depicted very, very effectively that nothing that the government has done of late has worked, you know. For example, government wants to, prices are going down, so government is saying that, well, we're going to want to add in a bunch of inflation. Well, you have the unemployment numbers that we have right now, and so you inflate prices, and that means that the folks who are unemployed really can't afford products. I mean, that logic is totally illogical, and it's very, very similar to, going into QE2 after QE1 didn't even come close to working, man.
You know, I find, and we haven't seen a lot of media about this, but I think we will in the coming months. What I found most startling in the recent weeks is how a certain person who's become so outright outspoken about feeling what the Fed is doing and Washington is doing is wrong, Alan Greenspan. I mean, this is a mea culpa. This is a man who helped get us to where we're at, and he's openly challenging in front of and on the same panel with Bernanke on what it is doing. It's unbelievable to watch and read the ex-Fed chairman tearing apart the current Fed chairman.
Pete, I don't know what to say other than, I don't get it. Now, here's an interesting question, okay? You are a very, very successful guy in the financial community, and you've made a lot of calls over the past 25 years that have been spot on, and your calls have made investors a lot of money, okay? I've got a fair amount of theoretical background in the financial community with a, BS BA. Sometimes I think it's BS. BA in economics and an MBA in finance. And neither one of us, coming from a practical standpoint that you're coming from, a theoretical standpoint that I'm coming from, neither one of us can see the logic behind the way the government is trying to get out of this financial mess. Why are some really smart guys like Ben Bernanke, Dr. Bernanke and the others, why don't they see what to us is so obvious? I don't get it, man.
Well, part of it is that they're entrenched into a position and it's hard to give up. I mean, if you think about it, think of major market moves and popular people we know, even some of our colleagues. Very rare does a colleague change in midstream, turn from bullish to bearish. It almost has to get annihilated before they make a turn. I think they feel that they've gone a certain way and they feel there's no turning back. I also believe that they have used the free printing of money. I mean, when we got off the gold standard, you know, it's not a coincidence that all these problems started when we got off the gold standard, because gold standard used to require fiscal responsibility, and then we got away from fiscal responsibility. And I just think they are still trying to fix an old problem that can't be fixed and try to think they come up with innovative new ways to do it. But in reality, it's the same. And in the height of 2008, when it looked like we were at the abyss, and we were, people said, look, we need to go in the abyss. The only way you clean house is to clean house. And instead, we put Band-Aids on it, and we effectively made the problem even bigger. So, unfortunately, I don't think there'll be a QE3. I don't think the Americans, and I don't even think politicians could have the will to even try a QE3. So I think this will peter out, and as it peters out into the first quarter of next year and the economy slips and slides, that's when the real negative flow will be into the general financial market.
Clyde Harrison mentioned earlier that he felt that our horizon, timeline, I guess I should say is a better word here, for realizing potential profits in the natural resource sector, whether you're buying commodities or stocks in that particular sector, he felt that the timeline was about 5 or 6 years, that it was good, that the opportunities were going to go on for 5 or 6 years from now. Would you agree with that?
I don't think it's that long. I actually believe we're in the second half of the bull market. I think the second half of the bull market will be shorter than the first, but it'll be more parabolic.
Why do you say that, Pete?
I think we're going to go up a lot,
yeah,
but in a shorter period of time.
Okay, so what's your time frame?
I think we have another 12 to 24 months. I think that's the best guess I can make at that time. A year or two from now, I really think if we haven't taken profits and the markets are still up, I think we're going to take profits just for the simple fact is that we've run far enough and long enough.
So you're saying 12 to 24 months. I am, at my age, you know, at my stage in life, I would like to say that I think Clyde has a really good point, because, I mean, the man is a genius when it comes to commodity-related issues. My time frame, personally, is the 12 to 24-month time frame. I think you're 100% right. I do think one thing, though, that I want to close out by saying, and that is I think the paradigm for investing has changed, and I will tell you that I think more and more people, a greater number of people are going to be involved in the resource sector in the years ahead that have been in the past. And I don't think there's really any question at all about that. Pete, thank you so much. Big Al is going to be right back, and I'm going to chat with Mark Chandler, head of currency at Brown Brothers Harriman. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. Like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery, Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work for your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com, and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278, or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled avatarfacial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
You may not be thinking of lead and brass as precious metal investments. And you may not be thinking about ammo when we say battery station. But you should, because Battery Station has a large inventory of the most popular calibers. Just go to BatteryStation.com and click on ammunition. There, you'll see where Second Amendment patriots invest in precious metals for .380, 9mm, 40 cal, 45 ACP, 38 Special, 357 Magnum, 223, 30-06, 308, and more. Be sure to look for the October GCM specials in blue boxes, too, at BatteryStation.com. We shoot what we sell, and all Battery Station ammo is all factory. No reloads. You'll enjoy great customer service, great prices, and fast shipping. Plus, all orders over $30 will receive a free patriotic flag. So invest in gold and silver. But don't forget about investing in lead and brass, too, at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799 or go to BatteryStation.com today.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. I am chatting right now with Mark Chandler. Mark is involved with Brown Brothers Harriman. He is one of their currency experts, for lack of better terms. Mark is in on the program. Mark has been on the program before. He was introduced to me by an old friend, Laura Stein. I have to tell you, Mark, when it comes to currency issues, is absolutely brilliant. Mark, how are you doing today, my friend?
Good, thank you.
Got a question for you. I'm really confused, okay? President Obama, President Obama because the Fed has nothing to do theoretically with the administration, okay? Ben Bernanke came out, just in the past week or so and announced the quantitative easing QE2 in the amount of $600 billion. In reality, that isn't really $600 billion. In reality, when you factor everything in, it's $900 billion. But since that time, logic would tell me that the value of the U.S. dollar would decrease significantly when you've got that much of an increase in the money supply. That hasn't happened. The dollar has gone up and down a little bit, but it's still staying on the index, Mark, around 80. What are your comments? Why is it working that way, man?
Yeah, sure. No, you're right. The dollar has made essentially, I believe it's almost a 7-week high here on the dollar index.
And I think that what's happening, and it is what I think that many people on retail investors don't understand about the institutional market. And that is, we did not wait on the institutional side for QE2 to be formally announced by the FOMC the day after the U.S. election, the midterm election. Instead, we began pricing it in when Bernanke talked about it at Jackson Hole's speech in late August.
Okay.
So from late August through the day after the FOMC meeting, the U.S. dollar sold off against the major currencies by more than 10%.
Yeah.
That was a dollar's erosion as the market's anticipating the QE2,
mm-hmm.
and it got very close to, from the signaling of the Federal Reserve, the market got very close to the amount that the Federal Reserve ended up announcing. So I would say something like this. The dollar initially weakened. The dollar is recovering now partly, and what happens on the institutional level is, in effect, they sold the rumor of QE2, and now they buy the fact. Just as a retail comes in and tells to sell the dollar because they think it's new news, Fed's engaging in QE2, while we, institutional people who have perhaps larger pools of capital, are more able to analyze the information and priced it in already.
Mm-hmm. Is the dollar, in your mind, a good investment right now?
I don't think that currencies, for most people, I don't think currencies ought to be thought about as an investment. I don't really think of them as an asset class for most investors.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I would think of that, a diversified portfolio, which means partly some money in the United States, it means some money outside the United States. I generally think that the dollar probably is going to continue to recover and gradually, partly because some of the stuff happening here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the day after the Fed announced QE2, the U.S. government releases the jobs data and some back month revisions. Turns out the U.S. has been creating roughly 130,000 jobs in the private sector for the last 4 months,
okay,
through the month of October.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we have this other problem. Maybe people like me in the foreign exchange market are kind of simple-minded. We can only focus on one big issue at a time. From the late summer through early November, we've been focusing on the U.S. weakening economy, QE2, fiscal policy uncertainty. Now that that is passed, those events are largely passed, we can focus on what's the other big issue, and that is Europe. In some ways, I guess, like business people, investors, individuals, we have our choice between focusing on what's urgent or focusing on what's important. And when we focus on what's urgent, like the QE2, we can't focus on what's important. Now that the QE2 is behind us, the urgent issues have been addressed. Now we can focus on what's important. And what's important is that Europe is melting down. That money that's flowing out of the periphery Europe, like Greece and Ireland and Portugal, is moving into Germany. And that's driving down German interest rates. At the same time, U.S. rates are rising. And that shifting of interest rate differentials is giving the dollar a better bid tone.
You say the European currency, or basically the euro, you didn't use the word disintegrating, but let's say that's the first word that came into my mind. It's really, really, you know, there are some really serious economic issues over there right now. What do you see as the future of the euro, Mark?
Yeah, sure. I think that the European Monetary Union is one of the great experiments of our lifetime.
Yeah.
Can you have monetary union without political union? And the jury is still out. I think that, you know, think about the own Federal Reserve's history. The Federal Reserve is created roughly 1914.
Yeah.
It's not for about 40 years that there's an agreement on a division of labor between the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury.
Mm-hmm.
The euro is still an infant in terms of real time. And they haven't worked out their full institutional framework and division of labor and the institutional capacity. So I think a couple things will happen. One is, I think that the periphery of Europe has some serious problems, and by that I mean Ireland, Portugal, Greece, and possibly Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to tie up the Europeans for the next 6 months easily.
Okay.
Trying to deal with these issues. The net consequence of that is it's going to weaken the Eurozone economy compared to the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the monetary union, this experiment, I think it survives, but it has to be institutionally reformed, sort of like in the U.S. We fought the British for our independence using the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
Very weak central government, no power to tax, no power to raise troops, required unanimity in decision-making. Europe is having the same thing in a way. They are operating under an Articles of Confederation. Eventually, they need a constitution, that kind of level of reform.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. is still the United States. We still celebrate July 4th as our Independence Day, even though we have a constitution now rather than the Articles of Confederation. I think the Eurozone monetary union survives, but it's going to change its form a bit, change its institutional relationships. It survives because there's no alternative.
You know, that's a really interesting point that, you know, a lot of people may take that as being a simplistic answer, but I agree with you 100%. I think it's going to survive because really the alternatives are not really very, they're not really plausible. What I, you know, my, in my mind, some of my colleagues, Mark, are saying, well, I think we're going to see Germany break away from it. Well, you know, I don't think so. I don't think that's in particularly in their best interest to break away. Comments?
Yeah, I think that people in market investors, we're good at like economic analysis,
yeah.
And what we tend to be weaker on is political analysis. And one of the tools I think that investors should have in their arsenal,
yeah,
is game theory. And game theory, the interesting thing about game theory is not so much about macroeconomics, it's about trying to think about what the other person's going to do. What is the incentive structure? And I think that the reason you can have monetary union is because when the Berlin Wall falls,
yeah,
how can Germany convince its neighbors, including France, that it's safe for it to be united? When I was in high school and college, we used to joke that we liked Germany so much, thank God there were two of them.
Yeah.
And so now that, so under what conditions could Germany be reunited?
Yeah.
And the conditions are that they share the Deutschmark, the super,
mm-hmm,
Deutschmark with the rest of Europe. Now as we call it the Euro.
Sure.
And they share the Bundesbank's credibility, the anti-inflation resolve with the rest of Europe. We now call that the European Central Bank, and it's headquartered in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
So I think that Germany is the first among equals in the Eurozone, and it is coming out as the big winner. If it were to drop out, or these other countries would drop out, Germany would be back at square one. These countries would devalue their currencies and steal the competitive advantage that Germany's achieved through basically disciplined cost cutting and productivity.
Well, they have certainly done, in my mind, a lot of correct things, as I think a lot of the European countries are doing right now in terms of cost cutting. And I got to tell you, Mark, I don't understand why the United States is not going in that direction. I mean, maybe I'm simple-minded, man, but I got to tell you, you know, with the background I've had, both from an educational standpoint and from a professional standpoint, I really, truly don't understand what we're doing. I'm going to give you the final words. You have 50 seconds. What do you do at Brown Brothers Harriman?
I am the global head of currency strategy. I help run a team of people who's trying to help our client base at Brown Brothers, only the mutual funds, asset managers, life insurance companies, no speculators, no corporations,
mm-hmm,
no hedge funds. And we're trying to help the mutual fund industry identify the risks of international investment.
Boy, and there are some risks there. Mark, I know you're a busy guy, but I want to get you on the show more often than not in the future because, you know, your insights into the comments that you made about the U.S. dollar and the comments that you made about the situation as it's going on into Europe, I tell you, they are incredibly insightful, and you are definitely a value to myself and my listeners. Thank you so much, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Glass spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscles, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the Cornell Economics Report. I'm going to start doing something new on the show this week, basically an educational segment. I want to round out the first hour, wrap up the first hour any way you want to put it, with a friend of mine by the name of Don Swenson. I met Don 2 or 3 years ago, actually, on the Internet through his website, which is Kingdom Economics, and Don started sending me a missive, which he does almost every day, every other day, what have you, and he talks about economic issues. Very, very interesting guy. We met in person in Las Vegas, I guess it was about a year ago, when we were attending a conference there, and then we got together again over in Spokane, Washington at the Silver Summit, which is a great conference. Don is a self-educated economist. Now, least you think that that doesn't mean very much, let me tell you a little bit about this guy. He is an expert in valuations. He has made his living all of his life doing valuations, primarily in the area of real estate, got very, very interested, courtesy of Jim Blanchard, back in the 70s, in what was going on in terms of the U.S. economy, the world economy, et cetera, and jumped into that particular venue head over heels. And now, you know, this has resulted in what I think is one of the most effective, clearly, to understand missives, newsletters, whatever you want to call it, out there. Don is attending a conference in Las Vegas right now, and that's where he is, and we're chatting. So, Don, how you doing?
Very good, Al. Nice to be with you.
Hey, great to have you, and I appreciate it. I want to talk a little bit about something that you wrote in your missive of the 15th of November entitled Bernanke's QE2 is mostly a moral issue, not a monetary issue. You know, you start out this in this particular missive by bringing out the fact that the U.S. government is running an operational deficit of about $1.35 trillion. We're currently spending about $3.5 trillion, with revenue from taxes significantly less than that, $2.15 trillion, and it looks, as you bring out, like we're going to run a deficit in 2011 of over $1 trillion. Now,
One would think if that was putting actual currency into the system, that would be absolutely unimaginable. I mean, $1 trillion bills is incredible. But number one, you bring out very effectively, that isn't what happens. Would you explain to listeners exactly what happens in terms of the money supply when it's increased or decreased, first in the United States and then on a worldwide basis? Your answer.
Okay, Al. I think a lot of people still have in their minds the idea that the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is printing out paper bills to increase the money supply. At least when people that are experts in economics talk about the Fed and what they're doing, they talk in terms of printing dollars, printing money, and you hear these words all the time. Well, as a teacher, you know, I don't like to use the word printing when they're not printing.
Right.
But, you know, printing implies that basically the Bureau of Engraving and Printing is running off dollar bills, and it's paper, and it's getting out into the economy. So sure. It gives you the impression that additional paper dollars are flowing and circulating throughout the entire economy. And that's not actually what's happening today. What's happening today is we've gone to an electronic system. It's a computer web system that basically is global in scale. And what the Fed does now is basically just increase the numbers in their computer account rather than printing. There's no ink or paper involved. And by just pressing numbers on the computer, they can increase their personal account called the system open market account. And this then increases the funds that they can use to purchase assets, you know, like the treasury bills, which they're now doing. So it's entirely different when you describe it that way rather than describing it as printing, which gives the layperson or the person that's listening the idea that there's dollar bills floating all over the place.
Okay, now let's take that and let's expand our stage, and let's talk about how this happens on the international level.
Okay, basically now everything's done by computer. So we have high-speed computers basically that are transferring these currency units all around the globe. Our currency is called the dollar. So basically the dollar is transferred now by electronic means. And it's the same thing with all the other currencies, the euro, the yen, the pound, the ruble. All the currencies now basically are electronic numbers in the computer, and we use names to describe and identify these numbers and symbols. So
okay.
Basically, we're not printing, Al, you know, like a lot of commentators say. What we're doing is basically now transferring money electronically all around the globe.
Okay, now what I think is really interesting here, and I'm sure most of our listeners, because we've got a pretty sophisticated audience, realize this, but for those folks
right.
who don't realize it, it's something that's very, very important to keep in mind, and that is that when you talk about money, okay, money is not wealth. It is not
that's
wealth,
correct.
Okay? Economics, basically, the main goal, as you brought out in your missive, is to increase wealth for our country, and money is simply, here's a direct quote from you, money is merely a tool for helping us with that goal. So, in fact, what Ben Bernanke and the Fed, and which is an entirely separate entity from the federal government, but what they are trying to do under, you know, with the approval of the administration, okay, what they're trying to do is they are trying to devise is the wrong word, but they are trying to, within the context of the money supply, increase the wealth of the United States, okay? Something I learned back, you know, when I was a sophomore when I was basically a beginning economics student at the University of Washington. Now, where I believe you and I and most of the guests on our program, if not all of the guests on our program, take issue with their action is that to increase wealth, you can't simply, in a bogus sense, increase the amount of quote unquote money in your checking account as the federal, you know, as the government is doing, basically putting more money in their checking account so they can increase the money supply in the United States. That's an action that really, really doesn't work, correct?
That's exactly right. Money is a proxy. Basically, it is not actually wealth. Money is just a tool that we use, and it could be anything. It used to be tulip bulbs. It used to be cotton.
Right.
It used to be tobacco. It used to be all kinds of different commodities. Now we're using just numbers, electronic digits in the computer, as money. But money is not wealth. Money is nothing, basically. It's just imaginary. Wealth is what we create from the land and produce, and that's what the goal of economics is producing wheat and corn and automobiles and steel and products. That is what Adam Smith economics was all about, creating the wealth for our nation so that we can become more prosperous. And as we share the wealth, then we can get into services and activities. But you have to start with goods. You have to start producing something before you can get into having prosperity, and that's the whole goal of economics. And money is a tool to help us in that endeavor.
Where we have a major difference in philosophy, not you and I, but
right.
where there is a major difference in economic philosophy, okay, the government right now believes that, and has for some time believed that, the tenets of John Maynard Keynes, you know, the very rich Englishman,
right.
Keynesian economics was the way to go, because that way the government could in fact control the actions of the people by the money supply, okay, for lack of better terms. Austrian economics believes that that isn't the case. Austrian economics is based simply on supply and demand, okay? I happen to be an adherent of the Austrian school, as I know you are also, but explain quickly, if you would, why Keynesian economics doesn't work. And we may have to take a break and go on into the next segment, but give it a shot.
Well, basically, Keynesianism is a tool. It's basically using math and numbers to manipulate behavior so that wealth is created.
Yeah.
And, of course, the banking system is set up basically to be the catalyst for getting these units, monetary units, out to all of us. So then we, in turn, will use them to do something productive with. So basically, the idea is that money doesn't have to be anything, any commodity or anything. It just needs to be a tool that will entice us to get out there and produce
and
create new products and so on.
And for a whole bunch of very, very sound and basic economic reasons, that really doesn't work, as it's currently not working in the United States. Hey, if you guys want to find out more about Don Swenson, click on the banner on our website. We direct you to his website. Don's going to be back with us every week. Let me know what you think. Big Al's going to be right back to do the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.